Hi, welcome to Sonic Serial. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Mark. And in this podcast, we take a deep dive into some of our favorite artists, track by track.
And today we're continuing with Post by Bjork. And it was produced by Bjork, Nelly Hooper, Graham Massey, Tricky, and Howie B. And it was released in 1995.
And we are doing track 7, which is Isobel, and track 8.
Possibly, maybe.
So let's start with track 7, Isobel.
Isobel. This is the second track. This is the second single from the album. And it is a part of a trilogy that includes Human Behavior and Bachelorette. And I think it's the most epic and cinematic song on the album.
Okay.
It really has a lot of bit of everything.
Well, you should know because you just released a cinematic album.
Yeah.
A cinematic
album. Yeah. Well.
So, go ahead. You can start.
How about some background?
Okay. Give us the background.
Okay. Well, Bjork actually had a book full of the lyric ideas for Isobel, but nothing that worked. She said, I've been fighting like a lunatic to write the lyrics and going completely bonkers, but I knew that if I waited for 3 months, threw away the book, preferably burning it, then I'd wake up one morning with the lyric. But I badly wanted this song on the album. I didn't know what to do.
So what she did is she asked her good friend and Icelandic poet, Sean
Sigurdsson,
to help with the lyrics, even though he'd never written lyrics for music before.
And he also wrote some of the Northman movie. Or you worked on it. That also has Bjork in it.
And?
Oh, and her daughter.
So she came up with the melodies while on holiday in Iceland for Christmas. Apparently by the window of her house in
Drigvagata. Did she come up with this idea for this song?
When a moth landed on her shirt collar and then it stayed there all day.
It's weird.
I don't know.
I would just kill
it. It was probably eating. She probably had a wool shirt on and moths eat wool. So it's probably just like snacking there all day.
And she thought, oh, it stayed there.
Because it loves me.
And it's like, no, it's just hungry.
It's eating your clothes.
Yeah. So in an interview, she said that this song was inspired by the Brazilian singer Elis Regina.
Which we listened to, and I could see that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about production.
Well, this song was produced with Nelly Hooper, and it includes songwriting contributions from Marius de Vries. And it begins with this enchanting opening with these soft strings. And it's just
enchanting.
And it feels like a sunrise.
You are both Cheech and Chong in that sentence.
And there's a trumpet by Maurice Murphy. And then these tribal drums start to kick in. And there's like percussion and it comes in with the bass.
And throughout the song, different orchestral elements come in as well.
There's even an electric guitar at some point. It's crazy.
The strings by Ymir Diodato. Is that right?
Ymir Diodato.
And you can definitely hear the Brazilian influences.
especially the part before the second verse.
Preach. Okay, so Maurice said about the song, a lot of her rhythm loops are very contemporary. So before I attempted to write things on top of them, I decided to write underneath, on her vocals, rather than to fight or add to the rhythm. Tell us what writing over the beat means. Wait.
It means writing a new line that's not in this song and something that will stick out, a high violin part, for instance. But when you write a melody that's already there, or chords in the low or mid range as pads, that's writing under.
And when he was asked about sampling, he said, too many people take a sample and rewrite it. But he said, I write. He says, I'm here sitting in the sun with beautiful mountains and this incredible view and the company of Bjork and all these musicians. I can't sample that. Wink. But I can compose it. You get what he's saying? Like,
yeah. So a critic once said that this sounded like breakbeats on Broadway. That's crazy. You're
trying to make me do a spit take. Okay.
Does this song have any samples?
Yeah, there's some percussion samples, including Shelly Mayne's Infinity sample, I guess. It's in that song?
Yeah, I think it's like a snare.
Okay. And Yellow's Salute Mayumba.
Yeah. And there's a whistling sample from Les Baxdales, Moonlight Stroll. For our listeners that don't know what whistling is.
What about song meaning for Isabel?
Well, this song is about this mythological creature named Isabel who is born from a spark in a forest. And then one day she realizes the pebbles on the ground are actually baby skyscrapers. What's so funny? And then eventually they grow and become a city with people, and Isabel goes into the city, but she feels the people are too clever and logical for impulsive and instinctual nature. So she isolates herself back into the forest, and that's why she's called Isobel. And she teaches moths to fly into the city and go na-na-na in front of people's faces to snap them out of being clever and just remind them of their wild instincts within. Thank you.
She said she was inspired by reading books that dealt with magic realism by South American authors like Isabel Allende and Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Have you read any of those authors?
I mean, I've read things that they've written, but certainly not a whole compendium.
I see. Well, she also said that this song was her way of owning the persona the media created for her and how they like made her into this mythical creature, otherworldly being.
And that was like later on.
Yeah,
so she's being retrospective.
She realized about that, it. Yeah.
And is there anything else that you'd like to say about?
I just feel like it could easily be related to the previous two songs, Enjoy and You've Been Flirting Again.
You mean two songs on the same album?
I mean, like,
three songs on the same album are related? That's crazy.
I know. Anyway, I like my favorite lyrics in this song is when she says, "In a heart full of dust lives a creature called lust." You like that?
That old people are really lusty?
No, and I don't know.
Like a heart that doesn't work? Maybe a dead heart? Dead people are horny?
No, it's like
that's a some macabre goth.
They should have said a heart that doesn't exist. Wait. Never mind. Moving on. I feel like it reminds me of Emma Stone's character in Poor Things, who has similarities to Isabel. Would you say?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Just throwing it out there.
It was a good movie. And the Academy agreed with you.
Yes.
All right, so speaking of cinematic representations, let's talk about the music video.
Well, the video was directed by Michel Gondry, who has a style similar to Tim Burton and David Lynch. The video is in black and white, and it shows Bjork as like some kind of governess, and she's playing an organ full of water, and she's telling children the story of Isabel. We also get to see her sucking on her own toes.
And a beating heart inside a drawer.
Little airplanes flying out of light bulbs.
And cockroaches crawling over the city.
It's a crazy trip, man.
And what about effects?
It seems to employ the practical effects of old films, like using double exposures and using water to like create the dreamlike images. And it's kind of reminiscent of film directors like Georges Méliès, who did the Trip to the Moon movie, and Jean Cocteau, who did like Beauty and Beast. What's the matter?
The video was shot in a forest in Doglau, Wales for 2 days and in the Black Island Studios in London.
Is that really how you say it?
Yeah. I did the Google thing where it says you.
Okay. And
that's why I wanted to read that line.
The dress is... dress is wearing Bjork. The dress Bjork is wearing, it's designed by Comme des Garçons and was first modeled by Linda Evangelista.
The organ... for the music video was built by Model Solutions, which is a set design house in the UK that built all sorts of wild structures for Pink Floyd album covers over the years, including this really big ball of yarn that's rolling down a beach and this 20-foot high flower print armchair. We're looking at a picture of it. Isn't that crazy? That was a real chair they built.
Yeah. I wonder where it is today.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, yeah. And in between shooting, Bjork would play Boards of Canada for the crew. And even though she got set up with a hotel in Wales, she just decided to set up a tent in the garden and camp out there.
And you said it reminds you of the film Wild Child.
I think by Truffaut, for our film nerds out there. It was from the 70s, and it was in black and white, and it's where this scientist guy takes in a feral child to see if he can tame him. I don't know.
You said it all.
You Speaking of Michel Gondry, he's a possessive director, and that's why...
That's why he won't stop calling you.
Yeah. And then also, that's why he always works with Bjork a lot. And he wanted her to be in his film. He wanted her to be in the film, The Signs of Sleep, but the role went to Charlotte Gainsbourg.
Water is one of the kind of primary things in the music video in Isabelle's world. And Gondry says that he uses the water as a dreamy transition tool, like between scenes. And like lots of his videos, like the reality blurs.
I'm listening.
Calling everything into question.
Definitely. I get that. So, live performances.
Well, I thought you were still thinking about the previous thing.
No.
Okay, so she's performed this on almost every tour.
Yeah.
And what's your favorite?
My favorite's the one she did for the recent Cornucopia tour, which we saw...
in Milan.
Yeah, in Milan.
Milan, California, which is a suburb of Los Angeles.
That's okay.
Okay.
And it was... it has production by Arca. That's why it sounds so different.
And what about remixes and covers? It's been remixed a lot.
Yeah, it's been remixed by Dimitri from Paris.
Motor Bass.
LNS.
Why do I get this one? Emir Donato.
Well, I get this one. Sigi Baldursson. With...
I thought you were going to start rapping.
Okay. With Die Orzo.
Goldie. Caracas.
No, Carcass.
Carcass. Oh, that's the one I asked you about earlier.
Yeah, the metal one.
Yeah.
And then Kid Koala is crazy with the scratching.
The single cover was photographed by Andrea Giacobbe.
Giacobbe?
Giacobbe. And
these photo in this photo it shows Bjork kissing herself, and it's taken from a photo shoot she did for The Face magazine. And then there's also additional artwork by Me Company with like digital acorns and pine cones.
I
want to
see that. Is it cool?
Yeah.
What, digital acorns? I don't know. That sounds hot.
Yeah.
Okay, the song was covered also by the band
Shoo Shoo.
Let's take a listen. My name is married to myself. And they also covered Ceremony by New Order, which we discussed during our series of Sofia Coppola's Marie Antoinette soundtrack.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like it was just last year. What about some trivia?
The song was featured in the Chanel Spring Summer 2011 fashion show with a live orchestra playing the song.
You're looking a little Chanel yourself tonight.
Yeah.
And Tom York from
Radiohead. Yeah, who we've also talked about on this show. I remember that.
Me too. That was good times.
And yeah, he said the song had an influence on OK's Airbag.
On OK's Airbag?
On OK Computer's Airbag.
It's like, you know him that well. You don't have to say the whole album name.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about your favorite place to spend your afternoons.
Oh, man. If you don't know about this, Facebook is called Bjork's Vault of Dank Memes.
We talked about it last
episode. Yeah, they're just great. Shout out to them. And then, so that's where... a bunch of memes are posted. And there's one meme that the users make, and it's called the Isabel meme. And it's basically making fun of couples that look alike. And
oh, that's like that site Boyfriend Twin that I showed you once.
Yeah, that trend of like, yeah.
Or not even a trend, just like just guys on the street that they just end up morphing into each other.
I try to look like you, but you won't let me. You get mad at me. So,
I just don't like twinning in public. I told you I have trauma from being dressed like my, like with my brother, like a twin, even though we were a year apart.
Yeah. So yeah, what this is a reference to, like, self-love, the self-love aspect of the song, where she says, like, I'm married to myself.
And Isobel is the Scottish spelling of the non-Scottish name Isabel. And the name Isobel is a variant of the Hebrew name Elisheba, which means God is my oath.
And it's pronounced the same as Isabel or Isabel.
But you just pronounced it different.
I thought I was... eaten.
No matter how it's spelled, it's always pronounced the same.
Yeah. But do you think that relates to the song at all, God is my oath?
I don't know. I was wondering that. But...
what does that even mean? God is my oath.
That you're like... that's what you pleasure yourself. Pleasure yourself. What you pledge yourself to.
Okay.
Like somebody says, I'll, like when you get married, you say, I'll take an oath to be faithful. Right? Yeah. You take an oath. So like my oath is to God is like, he's the one that you know, they say like you're married to God if you're a priest or a nun.
Yeah. So she's married. What? So confused.
Anyway, nothing to do with the song, I don't think. Because you said that Isobel was because...
Bjork always says it's because it's Iso, because she's isolated. Isolated.
Yeah.
Isobel.
That's what I'm saying. This what it means in Scottish and Hebrew has nothing to do with anything. I just thought it'd be a nice little pick-me-up at the end of a...
What's the next song?
Next song is Possibly Maybe, track 8.
Well,
that's a stunner.
Yes, it is. So this is a trip-hop song with soft beats and deep electronic tones. And Nelly Hooper and Marius DeVries are responsible for setting up the nostalgic and dreamy atmosphere around this memory of lost love, which became the 5th single taken from Post, and it reached 13th place in the UK charts. It is the first breakup song she ever wrote. I don't know, but all I know is I feel like I'm talking like, what's that lady that's in her kitchen making the video? She says, like, the nation is with the Patriots' blood or something.
Are you having a stroke?
Never mind. Okay.
All right, let's talk about the background of the song. It was inspired by Bjork's failed relationship with Stefan Sednui.
And she was she said she was ashamed when she wrote it because it wasn't giving hope.
I didn't see the thing I just wrote because it wasn't giving.
No, she was probably like, "Ooh, this is giving everything." That's why she's saying it. It's like, I gotta record this. I can't keep it to myself.
Experimental electronic artist Scanner sued Bjork for sampling his work throughout this song.
Yeah. Well.
Wait. So what happened? Like, did he? Did she win? Did he win?
I think he won, and they came to a settlement or an agreement. So she was able to keep the sound in her song after all. Because when it first happened, then they had to like recall a bunch of copies they just released. And they released a version without the sample.
The clean version?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool, let's talk about production.
Well, yeah, so it begins with that ringing sound we were just talking about, and so it's a sample taken from Scanner's, the first track off of his 1994 album, Mass Observation, and it's basically a music concrete piece that involves Scanner's radio signals and mobile phones.
Is music concrete a French term?
Yeah. Musique concrète. And it means concrete music, which I guess is like just raw.
I see. Like, yeah. Like you're recording live.
Yeah, and you just kind of, like record people at the bus stop, put it on LP and said, "Why did it?" It's fine. I don't know.
The song is carried by four notes that are repeating, and they seem to be played on a Rhodes piano.
Yes. I wish we had a piano here because I could play it for you. But, oh well.
We can get one.
Just we're going to put it right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, like we said
earlier. You never asked for a piano. And you have a keyboard in your. There's a nice keyboard in the closet. Like, couldn't you just walk up to that and bang away?
Yeah. Well, this song has a soft
beat. Wait, so why is the assumption that it's being played on a Rhodes piano in particular? Just because of the sound?
It was probably a keyboard imitation Rhodes thing. Yeah. But
it was distinct enough that you could kind of tell.
Something like that. I mean, it could just be a overprocessed synth, but I'm saying to me. All right. I don't know if it's a
find your light, girl.
I It's always sound like a Rhodes piano. That's how I interpret it. That's what I'm hearing.
Okay. And the beat is soft and basic. and it's got a kick snare pattern with some like rides in the background.
Yeah. Each verse contains a different sound, like vinyl crackling, spooky flutes, or explosions. Sounds like I'm advertising for a carnival. We got everything from vinyl, spooky flutes, and explosion sounds.
I thought it was like some... Those are like some... some like rappers from the Midwest.
Vinyl crackling, spooky flutes, and explosions. Okay.
Each verse is sung in a different melody.
And I think the song's unique element is the use of the pedal steel guitar that's played by BJ Cole. Bjork said she wanted to create an ambient country song, and that was influenced by Chris Isaak's Wicked Game. It's a good song.
Good song.
So the key changes.
tell me, sis. Don't hold back.
It's crazy. Because it's at the very last verse. And she's changing, it totally changes the mood from being melancholic to remorseful to creepy, mysterious, and vengeful.
I actually like the kind of creepiness of the violins and the cello, because it makes it sound dark. And you know how she usually like makes those noises, like shrieky kind of, I don't know, growly kind of stuff. Yeah, but in this song, it's like the strings are doing all of that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like her interpretation of herself as an instrument.
Yeah.
All right, what about song meaning?
Well, the song is actually chronicles each phase in the relationship from sweet beginnings to the very bitter end.
I just, when you said sweet, I thought of when Oprah was on TV and she goes, sweet potato.
Okay. And then Bjork said each verse represents a month. So if I do my math right, it's like 6-5 months, which is a long time to, you know, get worked up about someone.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've all been there.
Yeah. Well, not everyone's been there. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I haven't.
And it could easily be related to It's So So Quiet and You've Been Flirting Again, even though they're on the same album.
In the post book, she has handwritten that show. She has handwriting that... in the post book, there's handwriting that shows the early stages of this song. Her handwriting, obviously, with alternate lyrics like, in 2 years' time, I might have your child, probably never gay marriage.
but likely forever with you. What do you take away from that? She's saying, like, there's most definitely never going to be gay marriage, but we might have a chance. Or no, she's saying, like, anything could happen. Probably never gay marriage, though. Because it was, like, the 90s. Right?
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Well, I make that when she performs this live, she sometimes adds an extra verse, which is,
it came about through happenstance that I happen to be happy. You're just a bonus to that. Said I happen to
be happy. Is there any particular part that stands out the most to you?
The last verse. When she says, since we broke up, I'm using lipstick again. I suck my tongue in remembrance of you. I suck my tongue in remembrance of you. I never really understood what that means.
Until now? Or you still don't?
I still really don't, because I feel like the since we broke up, I'm using lipstick again, it means like, maybe wearing lipstick is a sign of being flirty.
No, I think she's saying that they broke up a long time ago, but she's finally using lipstick again. So, like, she's finally over him.
Oh, because she wasn't... You don't use lipstick when you're in a relationship.
No, I think she probably wasn't going out or wanting to date or anything because she wasn't over him. So, you know, she never... had to wear lipstick.
She had it. So that's her, like, I'm over this.
Yeah. Metaphorically, and then, you know, like, actually, you know, when you're over someone and you decide you want to go meet people, you start, you know, putting lipstick on.
Yeah,
and
yeah, yeah. Yourself again. And then I suck my tongue. And how does... Can you show me that? No, I get it. I understand that. I think it's just he was a bad kisser. No. And she's just being spiteful. You can't suck your own tongue.
I feel like it's like, she's like, I feel like she's like,
what are you talking about? Alright, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Let's talk about the music video.
It was directed by Stefan Sinoui, who she wrote the song about. So
this little clip you have here looks like she's in a big thing of coke. She's about to snort it up.
Or she's cleaning it up. She's a house cleaner cleaning up after party people. She's like, every time I gotta get a new job.
Wait, she had the party, but she had to get a new job.
Never mind.
Okay, so Said Noyi recalled in an interview with The Guardian from September 24th, 2005. I was supposed to be making this video. Then I wasn't. Then I was again. And this indecision was due to the fact that Bjork and I had come out of a relationship with each other and the song was quite personal.
Yeah. And he's continued. He said, obviously, she wasn't sure if it was the right thing for me to direct the video, but I convinced her that would be good for the both of us.
And apparently the shoot was really intense, but not because of our relationship. It was because of what was going on in her life at the time. It was the mad guy in Miami had become obsessed with her and killed himself.
Yeah. And the police found his body along with the written testimony. that he sent a bomb.
This is funny to you?
Yeah. He sent a bomb to her in the post. And She was in a complete state of horror, so we had to stop the shoot and give her a day to calm down. Perhaps in the end, she used the emotion to good effect in her performance.
So basically saying, like, in the middle of the shoot that happened, she freaked out, and that emotion came out in the song.
Yeah. Or, you know, she just had PTSD. It was a rough time for her.
The video feels like a fashion shoot with her appearing in different clothes, hairstyles, and different kind of bedroom sets that were set up to represent the moods and references to each verse. Yeah. It was cool. I like.
Yeah, it's fun. And this set included personal items that belonged to Bjork, as to show the intimate and personal nature of the song. And these include a geisha doll, a little harmonium, and some paintings, and some ornamental ships.
And for the chorus, she's in a neon day-glow backlight, 5-bedroom... wearing a body dress by Comme des Garçons. What?
Yeah. Again with the Comme des Garçons. And.
Like, what is this, the sixth time we've been talking about Comme des Garçons today? Like, over breakfast. And again with the Comme des Garçons.
Oh, man. This is Comme des Garçons.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
You're wearing Comme des Garçons. Yeah. I thought it was Chanel.
Anyway. In other shots, she's taking a milk bath and she's eating a watermelon. What? The way she eats that watermelon. Did you see that? She's like licking her arm and stuff.
She's surrounded by electronics with headphones, standing in front of a fire and sitting at a vanity putting on lipstick.
Yeah. And I'm curious about that neon liquid that she puts her tongue in. Do you have any idea what that is?
I mean, it probably reacts to black light, so it must be. What?
She really went there. I forgot. Stefan Sinoui, he actually made an animated video for Army of Me, where a bunch of polar bears emanate from our body, and they hug and they dance with each other.
You know, Iceland shoots polar bears that come over on ice floats from Greenland. What they do.
Yeah. In the animation, I feel like she's flying. Never mind.
That is a drug reference?
No. Okay. How about live performances?
Well, Bjork has performed this song on most of her tours.
But my favorite is the version she performed in 2012 at the NYC Roseland Ballroom, where she performed with Hank drums and a Tesla coil. What was that?
What about remixes and covers?
This song has been remixed by Talvin Singh, Dallas Austin, and Mark Bell.
And it's been covered by The Roots of Orcus and Final Fantasy and Ed Drost.
Yes. What other remixes?
Well, there's a Saint Panic remix. That's S apostrophe ain't. Saint. You can find that on SoundCloud. S. What is that? That's apostrophe?
Yeah.
S apostrophe A-I-N-T. Like taint, but with an S. Panic remix. And then there's the Born to Chill rework, which sounds kind of 80s and fun. And then there's a very funky, jazzy, loungy cover by Monika Borzym that you can find on YouTube.
Yeah, going back to the sampling drama, though, DJ Shadow actually sampled this song for his song Mutual Slump from his 1996 album Introducing. And although he was against sampling popular artists, he made an exception for Bjork and Metallica. But I think it's just ironic. I wonder if he was aware of the sampling lawsuit thing that she was dealing with. And he was like, how about I just sample you, see how you like it?
I think people were very... It was like a interesting time, you know, with samples and things going electronic, yeah. And that you could take things and put them apart and
yeah,
easily. Yeah, it's probably a weird time.
Yeah. And then also there was a rumor that she recorded this song in the nude. Well, okay.
All right, let's talk about some misheard lyrics. So the original lyric is, your eruptions and disasters, I keep calm. Admiring the lava, I keep calm.
And then the misheard lyric is, your erections and your erections are disasters, I keep calm. Admiring your lover, I keep calm. Good night.
This is the completion of episode 4 of season 3.
Guess what? We're halfway done with the album.
Halfway.
Or more than halfway.
We only have one more, right?
Yeah.
Or two more.
One more.
And what songs will be covered in this next one?
I Miss You. Oh. Me. Cover Me and Headphones.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.